Infrastructure at the housing development at 22nd and Wheatland in Hays is nearly complete. Grow Hays Executive Director Doug Williams talks to us about that and more on this episode of the Post Podcast.
We're checking a few boxes, and as you say, we've talked about it for a long time, way longer than I would have ever thought. You know, these projects, they take a long time. I was telling somebody the other day that I watched a documentary the other night, and the Empire State Building was built in 13 months.
No.
It was.
Is that really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And we've been at this a year and a half, you know, to get this project done. But that's just the nature of the way things are in the world we live in now.
Building codes now.
Well, that, and it's just, particularly out here, you know, that was in the height of the Depression. They had all kinds of workers available and that kind of thing. We don't have a lot of workers available now, but they did finish the streets last week. So the streets are complete. The utility companies will be moving in here very quickly to put in electricity, gas, cable TV, telephone, those kind of things. And shortly after that, we'll start seeing some construction. Maybe even before those are completed, we'll start seeing some construction out there. Material prices have backed off a little bit. You know, the price of lumber has backed off, and so that's good news. So I think the four contractors that have agreed to build homes out there will be gearing up pretty quickly here. So we should. Our goal at this point is to have some homes available out there before the end of the year. Because it's a, 3 to 6 month building cycle to get things built and things. So that's our objective. So we are seeing some progress. If you drive out by there, you'll see the streets are done and things are looking pretty good.
Awesome. Now, this may be a kind of an elementary question, but I'm not a homeowner. I've never went through this process. And maybe some people that are listening are on the same boat. You know, if these houses coming up, how do you buy them? Like, is it going to just be go to a realtor and when they get up, they're on the market, or is there a different way to go about this?
Well, you can do it that way. If you have an agent that you work with, you can contact them and they can make arrangements to work with the builder on what's going to be available and what they're building. You can contact the builders. There's four of them. When somebody contacts our office, I send them the contact information for each of the builders, and they can contact them and talk about what they're looking at and what they're going to be building. So a couple of different ways that can happen.
Yeah, and the reason I ask that, you know, at this point, I say if you had a particular vision for a house in mind, you know, is there the potential or the option to kind of tailor one of those houses to that? Or at this point, do you think they're kind of locked in with their designs?
They're mostly locked in. Given the price range that we're looking at, you know, this is not going to be a custom home by any stretch of the imagination. But if you work with a builder early on, there's no reason why you couldn't make some choices as to floor covering and colors of the walls and some things like that. You just won't be able to, okay, I want down to the custom home type things like I want these granite countertops and I want this type of wood flooring or I want vaulted ceilings or what have you. They're pretty much locked in on the floor plans, but there would be some choices you could make in some of those decorating areas.
Yeah, and I would think, you know, if you're looking for that custom build, there are other not projects like this going on, but there is construction going on here in Ellis County, right? Like I think in Kings Gate, I believe I've seen some houses going up that way.
There's a number of houses going up in Kings Gate. There's some houses going up in the tall grass area on the east side. Which is over just to the east of Canterbury, a few blocks. That section of tall grass still has some on 17th Street has some homes that have gone up, and I think some projected to be going up. Big Creek Estates, there's a house or two going up out there. So there's some construction activity. Yes, those are more inclined to be custom type homes, but this price range that we're trying to hit, there's a little less customability on these homes.
You know, before we move on to our next topic, I wonder if you want to talk a little bit about, I know maybe months ago when we were talking about housing, it was kind of a dire situation. Is it looking a little bit better in Ellis County, or are we still really just scraping the barrel for houses here?
I think we're still in a, I don't know if dire is the right word.
I mean, everybody has a house. Everybody's, you know, nobody's on the streets waiting for a house to open up.
we are in a difficult situation. And I spoke with a reporter yesterday. He called me, and he's doing a story on housing in the Midwest in general, in rural America. And he said he's talked to any number of communities where they all have housing situations. And much of it, he feels, and what he's found, is being driven by outward migration from urban areas. We've talked about that before. There are people relocating. Remote workers don't have to be in the office anymore. They can work from anywhere. And so I think we've got a lot of that going on all over the Midwest. People understand this is a pretty good place to live. The Eastern Range in Colorado, the prices are just insane for homes. It's affordability is a problem. You know, we get people talk about affordable housing in Hayes all the time. Go out to Denver or Colorado Springs sometime, yeah, and you'll see what affordable housing it really looks like out there in terms of what it is not. They don't have any. And so we continue to have a housing shortage. We are getting it. I think we've got the wheels in motion to resolve some of that. But it takes time. And I've been told that there may be some local mobile home parks that are going to expand, some bring in some new mobile homes. And, you know, that fits a niche within our market that provides housing. They said they'd be new, and there'd be 30 or 40 of them potentially. So that all helps filling that need we have for housing, which ultimately ties into workforce. If you don't have someplace for people to live, you can't attract a workforce. So that's why, as an economic development organization, we're concerned about housing, because it really ties back to workforce. And if we don't have a workforce, you know, our businesses all have all kinds of problems. So that's what we're trying to fill that need, slowly but surely we're doing it. But to answer your question, yeah, we still have some issues. Definitely. I looked, had somebody check it yesterday for me. There's 37 homes in the Hayes MLS right now for sale. And we've talked about it before. In December of 2019, there were 101. So that's a big drop. Not much inventory out there to choose from.
Yeah, and they're generally on the much higher end of the price range, right?
Seems like they're right now, they seem to be really low or really high. None in that sweet spot that's that, I'd say, 150 to 300 maybe, or something like that. There just are not enough choices in that price range, which a family moving into the community that's going to take a job and work here, there's not much of that available.
Okay, well, leaving it on that note and shifting over to this other thing we're going to talk about here. You've got all kinds of events coming up, or you were coming out of COVID, things are getting back to normal, and one of the things that you guys do down there at Grow Hayes so well is promote entrepreneurship and just really kind of a business community by having these events. I don't know if you want to just talk about some of these that'll be coming up, because it's all of them are coming back, right? The Pitch It, Trispective. Of course, your quarterly luncheons never really end, but I'll just let you open it up. Tell us a little bit about this.
You know, we kind of put everything on hold for almost a year. We did continue to have some quarterly luncheons. We skipped a couple, but then we started them up again this last spring. But we're going to try and ramp up to a full schedule in the second half of 2021 here, including the Pitch It events. We'd like to have a couple of those. We used to try and have one of those each quarter. That's the Shark Tank type event where people come in and it's a competition. They give their business presentation, their 5-minute pitch on what their business idea is. We have 5 per session, and the winner gets $500. So kind of a neat deal. We're planning to do a couple of those before year end. Our Trispective Speaker Series is we invite entrepreneurs in to talk about various topics. The last one we did was growing your business through acquisition. We had a couple people who had have done a good job of growing their businesses by acquiring other businesses. And this next one, we're going to try and focus on growing your business by doing a good job, by giving good customer service and growing your business kind of organically. And we're going to get some people to come in and talk about that, their experience and how they did it.
Very cool.
And then we're also going to do a Think Like an Entrepreneur class. It's an 8-week class where people come in and we cover the basics of entrepreneurship and what the good things are, what the bad things are, what people can expect if they're going to go into business for themselves. It's very self-fulfilling, a wonderful opportunity, but it also comes with some some problems attached to it. You know, when you own and your own business, there are some challenges. So we're going to do that. We're also planning to do our Youth Entrepreneurship Challenge in the fall sometime. So we're trying to gear back up. We haven't set dates for all these things yet, but we're going to be doing that in the coming weeks. So be watching for that on our website, your Facebook page, or we'll talk about them on here.
But, I was going to say, they'll come up, I'm sure.
We will definitely be talking about them. But we're trying to get back to normal. Hopefully, Delta is not going to cause any problems in doing that, and we're gonna be okay.
Yeah, well, let's not get into the COVID.
Agreed.
Agreed. Oh, my gosh, there's so much
enough
to talk
that.
About that. Yeah. But, you know, I wonder if you want to talk a little bit about, you mentioned that, you know, the housing problem is caused by people that are leaving these urban areas into communities more like Hayes. And I think it's that focus on entrepreneurship that helps drive a little bit of that, right? Because you can do a lot of jobs now remotely.
That's part of it. You know, a person can come out here and live here and have a business that's a online business. We've got a few in town that are that way already. But they can choose to live wherever they want, and because they're doing, they're either doing consulting or they've got a product that they ship or what have you. And so we want to create an environment in this community that's very entrepreneur friendly, where they can find, you know, people of a like mind, but also employees and a local government situation that's business friendly. And I think we have that. So that's what we're trying to create with this entrepreneurship spirit within the community. The college does a great job of it. You know, Hanson Hall is all about entrepreneurship. The Faulkner Challenge is about entrepreneurship. And, you know, we want to create an environment where a lot of those kids that are entrepreneurial down there have a good environment to stay here and you know, we can foster their ideas locally.
Yeah, and I think that isn't that so important right now that, you know, these populations, and we talked about this, I don't remember if it was last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, but the population forecast for the region are not stellar. And it looks like, you know, generally Western Kansas is going to become less populated. But keeping those young folks here, I think, is key in, you know, maybe bucking that trend, right?
We definitely want to avoid the brain drain where kids don't perceive that there's any opportunity here. And I certainly realize that, you know, some kids want to go to the big city. That's just part of this rite of passage of becoming an adult. You want to move away. You want to be in your own. But not all of them do. And also, a lot of them like to come back. And so we want to make sure that we've got a business-friendly environment and entrepreneurship culture here so that they can feel like it's a good choice to come back here. And then those people who are looking to relocate, get out of the rat race in the city. We want to make sure that this is a good spot for them. That's kind of what Brief Space is all about. We've got some people down there who are doing just that, but that different type of office space, different type of work environment, we want to foster that any way we can.